The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to a holy city, the holy city, and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Lent is a season of prayer. It's a season of discernment. Discernment is listening to the desire or the will of God. And Lent, we get to do that, we get to practice that in prayer. I don't know about you, but Lutherans, in my experience, or at least in my upbringing, have kind of a funny relationship with prayer. I mean, I grew up saying nightly prayers and praying for people I loved and saying prayers when somebody was sick, but prayer was always kind of a one-way street, right? And I gotta admit, it wasn't until very recently that that's really all I understood prayer to be. I mean, other faith traditions have prayer practices, like, you know, praying a rosary or praying with beads, and Lutherans, I think, are always kind of a little bit standoffish about these things. And I think it has to do with the fact that we're people who have it in our bones, that we're justified by grace through faith, right? We don't have to do anything, we know, to earn God's favor or to earn God's love. We know that grace is ours. Full stop. And so, I don't know, it's just a gut feeling of mine or maybe my own idea, but I think Lutherans sometimes have seen prayer practices as kind of works. We're allergic to the word works. Not that we're lazy, but we just have it in our bones that anything that feels like we're earning God's love, put it away. It's a long history of that. But prayer can be something else. And in Lent, we're called to prayer. So we should talk about that a little today. But first, a story. Many of you have heard me preach, and I've talked about my time in Cuba in 2015. I got a research grant, and I was there just as the relationship between Cuba and the United States was opening up, and I leapt at the opportunity to go and be there. And in being there, I was going to be there for a few months, so I wanted to be able to keep in contact with my family. So I brought a little tablet with me, and just as soon as I got there, actually, Havana was opening up Wi-Fi spots, so it was kind of exciting, so you could go sit on the street and check your emails and things. But what I learned reinforced what I only kind of knew about the World Wide Web. Now, I guess I always sort of imagined that the World Wide Web is just kind of out there, and we tap into it, right? I mean, it's there. But the truth is that the internet isn't just there. It's a whole bunch of computers around the world connected to one another. That's what the web is, right? And in North America, we have computers and databases and things, and they are connected by cable, actually undersea cables that stretch thousands of kilometers under the ocean and connect to mainframe computers in Europe, and then they go the opposite way, under the sea to Asia and all over the world. You can actually look at maps of underwater cables connecting the world together. That makes the internet. Well, what I learned about Cuba when I got there is that the internet is very, very slow in Cuba. Inside of Cuba, like if I was to access a Cuban website there, not so bad. But there is one cable, literally one cable, that goes from Havana all the way down to Venezuela under the ocean. One. And all of the Cuban civilian communications go through one cable. And so, if I wanted to send a message to my friends and family back home, literally I have to access a computer server in California through the cable to send a message, and it would just take forever. I'd just sit there and watch that little thing kind of tick. And I learned later that most of my emails never reached who I was sending them to because of the poor, poor connection. That is us as the people of God. Without prayer. We're people who are on an island, and it's not like we're not wanting to say something to God, or that God's not wanting to speak to us, or that God is not speaking. It's that the connection is poor, and the work of prayer is just simply laying down the lines to open up channels of communication, because God is speaking, God is working in the world. But we also know that we live in a world with a lot of other voices that are telling us, a lot of other messaging. We heard that in our gospel, right? Jesus is tempted by the devil three times. Adam and Eve are tempted in the garden. And Jesus has these three really interesting things, right? He's tempted to eat after 40 days of fasting. So we have food. Then he's tempted to safekeeping if he was to hurl himself off a high point. So we have food and safety. And then the third one is power. Jesus is tempted to mass power. And you got to understand, this isn't just a little bit of power, right? Judea, where Jesus lives, is probably one of the least consequential political territories in the world. Surrounded by Egypt and Persia and Rome, right? Massive powers, and the devil is saying, hey, I could make your people more powerful than all the people around you who are oppressing you. That's not a small thing. Anybody who has considered a job offer or considered a raise or looked for ways to be more involved, to get more power, or anything like that, you know that there's a lot of voices that go on as you're thinking about conversations like that. And they're not all bad, right? Some of those are God's voices. Some of those are God's voice calling us into new things. But there are also voices and considerations that we know are not of God. We just know that. Money is a very tempting thing. I know that. So God is speaking to us, and we got to do the work of laying down the lines, laying down the channels of communication. I don't know about you, but if you were here last weekend at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, I thought it was amazing. This was a congregation that, we had special music, we had the bishop here preaching, we had special guests, we passed a welcome statement opening up the way to become an RIC church. I mean, it was beautiful. It was like the heavens opening up and God saying, yes, Shepherd of the Valley, yes, I got big plans for you. And then we're called in to Lent and prayer. But actually, that's where we find Jesus today. The gospel that we heard comes right on the heels of Jesus' baptism, when literally the heavens are ripped open and God's voice booms out, this is my son, the beloved, listen to him. And we might be sitting on the sidelines at that point thinking, ooh, Jesus is going to go out, he's going to do some healing, he's going to do this, he's going to do this, he's going to do this. And then instead, the Spirit drives Jesus into the desert, away, alone, quiet, in prayer and fasting. So we're in good company, actually. This morning you received these purple bracelets, which you can have your neighbor help you tie on or tie on when you get home, if you choose to. But this is an invitation into that work of prayer. If you've never had a prayer practice, this is pretty simple. And so let's rehearse it, actually. I brought my card. There's this little card that goes with it. And here's what you do. Once a day, maybe at the grocery store, maybe lying in bed just before you're about to go to sleep, put your fingers around one of the knots on the bracelet and say that first petition, "Oh God, give me your heart." Here, say it after me.
"Oh God, give me your heart."
You can put your fingers on the second piece and say, "Oh Christ, teach me your way." The third part, "O Spirit, breathe into me your peace."
O Spirit, breathe into me your peace.
Amen. You're invited into that, not because it's a work, not because it's going to earn you more favor from God. No, not like that. But because God's got big plans for this congregation. God is still speaking. We know as Lutherans, grace is ours. But we also know that grace is not a dead end. We know that grace belongs to us and then calls us back into the world so that we can share the love of God with the world around us. That's what grace does. So you're invited to lay down these cables, right? So that when God is speaking to us, we know whose voice we're hearing. God's got big plans for Shepherd of the Valley. I invite you into Lent, into this practice of listening, so that we might discern where we're going to go with this grace next. Amen.